Lord Jesus Christ, we gather to celebrate the feast of the two great apostles of our church, Peter and Paul. But there was really nothing great about them. What we are really here to celebrate is the great things that God did within them. In fact, they were far from great. They both knew great weakness of character, even though they seemed like strengths to each of them. Neither of them really lift up to their name. Peter was a man of great faith, as we hear in today's gospel. When asked, "Who do you say that I am?" In faith, Peter cries out, "You are the Messiah. You're the Son of God." And even our Lord recognizes the fact that this was not revealed to him by any person on earth, but from his Father in heaven. And yet at the very same time, when our Lord goes on to describe to Peter what this reality would mean and what his Father's will would entail, Peter became less than a steady rock. The moment the Lord said that his Father would lead him to Jerusalem, where he would be arrested and then he would be put to death, immediately Peter begins to waver. And he steps before the Lord and tells him forcefully, "This shall never happen to you. I will not let it happen. God forbid that such a thing should happen to you." And instead of being a rock of strength and steadiness, at that point, he becomes a stumbling block to the Lord and his fulfilling the Father's will. So much so that the Lord turns to him and says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are an impediment to me." Similarly, Paul was a man strong in character, fierce in his faith, a Pharisee by training, an intellectual, if you will, of the time. And that fierceness was directed outwards towards others, especially when what was considered to him to be this new heretical sect, these followers of this preacher from Galilee. And Paul directed all this fierceness towards the Christian community, at first watching them being put to death, and then himself taking an intimate part in the practice, dragging people from their homes and having them put to death for their faith. Both of them had to come to see something of their weakness and their poverty. God cares not about what we think are our strengths, our abilities, or virtue. And the comparison with his goodness, it is as nothing in his sight. Scriptures remind us, even the righteous man sins 7 times a day. So even the holiest of men sins, as it were, perfectly 7 times a day. And neither Peter or Paul were perfect. Paul, in his blind spot, would be struck blind, would be humbled in body, in order that he might come to see a greater truth to which he was blind. Peter, the unsteady one, would see over and over again what it would really mean for him to be a rock for the church, to fulfill the great name that the Lord had given him, to be one who could truly strengthen his brothers. As I mentioned, he vacillated greatly, and even Paul took him to task when the Judaizers, those who were Jewish converts to the faith, wanted to make the Gentile Christians become Jewish before they became Christian. And so that meant being circumcised, which certainly would not be a great joy for any male figures within the community, and also to embrace all of the ritual laws, the dietary laws of the Jews. And Paul calls out Peter on this. You are like a reed blown in the wind. You yourself have been eating with the Gentile converts. You yourself have not been keeping the dietary laws. Stop being a hypocrite and bear witness to the truth, to the full community who is looking to you for guidance, is looking to you for the word of truth. Be strong, Peter. Be a rock for the church. Both men would go on to be powerful witnesses to the faith, but not by their own strength, but by the grace of God. Peter would become that rock, but only by profound humility, such humility that would lead him to finally witness in the most powerful way to the Lord, not in words, but in his death, refusing to be crucified like his Lord, except upside down. This is all that he was worthy of, and he knew it. No doubt his betrayal and denial of the Lord, the one who proclaimed before all the community, "You are the Messiah," saying, "I do not know the man," when questioned at Jesus' trial, no doubt this pricked his conscience over and over again throughout the course of the years. And similarly for Paul, the many that he crucified, the many that he put to death for their faith, would ever drive him now to bear witness, not in strength, not in power, but in humility. We preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. The stiff-necked Paul would eventually bend his neck in order to offer his head to the executioners. What we are to see today and reflect upon today is the importance of humility, but the greater importance of the grace of God. This is what God has come to give us, not as a reward for our good deeds, not as a reward for our holiness, but as an act of love and mercy to show us his absolute love for us, to lift us up out of our poverty in order that we might be great in him and in him alone. Glory to Jesus Christ.